Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13 as we continue our verse-by-verse study in this great prophetic book. For the last two Sundays, we've been examining the beast out of the sea, which we believe is the Antichrist, the political world ruler during this particular time on earth called the Tribulation Hour, a seven-year period where God pours out His wrath upon the earth as never before, the time of Jacob's trouble, the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week. Now today we shift in our study to move to look at another beast, but this is the beast out of the earth, the beast out of the land. And this beast is the false prophet, the world's religious leader during this time, the one who will direct attention to the Antichrist. And we'll see the rise of this individual, the one who will lead the ecumenical movement, the one world religion of this day, in a very powerful way in our study. Let's stand one more time as we read the Word of God. Revelation 13, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, the land, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. This is a person, because the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the privilege and the honor that we have to come together corporately to praise you for your greatness. And truly, you are great, the Most High, the one who is worthy to be worshipped. And Lord, as we continue in our worship together this morning, as we look into your truth, your word, I pray that your Spirit will teach us and illuminate the Scriptures to us. And you will enable me to clearly, humbly, and lovingly, and boldly communicate your word to your sheep. And Father, for those that are here today that do not have Savior, we pray that, Lord, you would call them to yourself and save them from your wrath today. Lead us now in the study of your word. We commit our time to you, Holy Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ solemnly gave this warning in Matthew 7, 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, the verb beware in this text literally means to be on guard against someone because they are so dangerous and harmful. And it's not a command simply to notice or sense something, but to be on guard against someone, to take heed, to watch out for danger. Now, what did Jesus say we are to beware of? Well, of false prophets, and specifically false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. And sheep's clothing was wool clothing made from sheep, specifically a wool garment that a shepherd wore, wool clothing made from the sheep they tended. I'm talking about the wool clothing that was the characteristic garb of a shepherd in that day. Meaning, false prophets do not deceive the flock by impersonating sheep, but by impersonating a shepherd who wears sheep's clothing in the form of his wool garments. Beloved, false prophets deceive not by disguising themselves as sheep, but by impersonating true shepherds. They use religion and masquerade as shepherds, and therefore have credibility and act like they care for the sheep. Now, false prophets have plagued God's people in the Old and the New Testaments. As we get closer to the end times, their numbers and reach will multiply. In fact, speaking of the end times, as all of it discourse, Jesus said this in Matthew 24:4-5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Now, Jesus made this statement in response to the disciples' question to him in verse 3 of that text. Matthew 24:3 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?'" Literally, the end of the age. Now, beginning in verse 9 of Matthew 24, Jesus gives more detail to answer that question. And beginning in Matthew 24:9 through Matthew 24:15, he said, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At time, the end of the age, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." Now, this abomination of desolation is the Antichrist, the beast out of the sea talked about in Revelation 13:1-10, which we studied about the last 2 weeks. And just as false Christs who have plagued mankind will culminate the final Antichrist, so also will the false prophets culminate in a final false prophet who will be introduced to us today in our study of Revelation 13:11-18. And this false prophet will be Satan's last and most powerful lying deceiver. He will be, in essence, Satan's high priest, the world's religious leader, who will lead people into the satanic religion of worshiping the Antichrist. And this ultimate false prophet, the false prophet, the world's religious leader in the tribulation, will use religion to lead the only religion tolerated in that day. One world religion, the pinnacle of the ecumenical movement, as the means to empower Antichrist, the world's political leader at this time. And you know what we'll have? Religion and politics combined will be used by Antichrist for worship and fulfilling Satan's diabolical plan to be the God of this world and bring about his kingdom in hoping to stop Christ's kingdom from happening. So the false prophet will be a key figure at this future time. In light of that, I titled our message this morning simply, The False Prophet. And John's vision of this false prophet reveals three key elements to his role, which will be our outline today. Number one, his personality, talked about in verses 11 and 12. Two, his performance or power, talked about in verses 13 and 14. And number three, his plan, communicated in verses 15 through 18. And with that outline as our guide, look at verse 11, please, where we'll start to see our first point today, his personality. Revelation 13, 11. Then I, John, saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Now at this point of John's vision, which most likely started in chapter 12, verse 1, a new scene is viewed by John here, one that brings another beast to his attention. And unlike the first beast that he saw that came up out of the sea in verses 1 through 10, this beast out of the earth or out of the land. And in the ancient world, the earth or land was less mysterious and frightening than the sea. There was no major exploration in and under the sea. The sea was a mystery in a sense. And Dr. Robert Thomas says at this point in his commentary on Revelation 8 through 22 along this line of thought, and I quote, "In the minds of the ancients, none of the terrestrial or earth's animals could compare in magnitude with the monsters from the deep or the sea. So coming up out of the earth in itself indicated a degree of inferiority and power of the second beast to the first," end quote. And that this second beast arises from the earth suggests that he will be less overpowering and terrifying than the Antichrist, the first beast out of the sea. And this appears to be the context. For notice that this beast only has two horns, whereas the first beast had 10 horns. And this beast looks like a lamb. Not the combination of a leopard and a bear and a lion, speaking of the first beast in Revelation 13:2. And yes, this beast has might, signified in the strength and power of having horns. He has two horns, but not the strength and might of 10 horns of the first beast. Beyond that, he, and the personal pronouns he and him are used repeatedly to show this beast as a person, this beast appears to be as harmless as a lamb, suggesting that he does not come as a dictator like the first beast, but on the surface appears to be a subtle deceiver with gentleness and meekness as a lamb. Beloved, this beast as a lamb comes in innocence in his demeanor, as someone gentle in his mannerisms. But the meekness stops there. For it says in verse 11, he spoke as a dragon. And of course, we learned earlier in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation that the dragon is Satan. So this beast, like the first beast, is a mouthpiece for Satan, speaking his word, communicating his message, which reminds us that false prophets often appear mild and humble and meek and harmless. And they offer false hope and false solutions, problems troubling people. They sound good, but in reality they are the voices of hell, speaking for Satan, coming as angels of light. Paul would warn us about people like these in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. He would say, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also, his ministers, Satan's, be transformed as the ministers of light, whose end shall be according to their works." Well, this lamb with two horns coming out of the earth, his personality appears to be something it's not also. For he will be a minister of Satan. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. And he will have authority and cause people to worship the first beast. Look at verse 12, please. "He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed." Now, beginning in verse 12, we will see the false prophet's personality manifest by his actions. For there is a Greek verb used 8 times in verses 12 through verse 16. Translated, exercises and makes, here in verse 12, performs and makes in verse 13, to make and performs in verse 14, cause in verse 15, and causes in verse 16. And as you put these verbs together, as you connect them together, we see that the false prophet exercises authority, forces, performs great signs, brings fire down from heaven, and causes people to receive the mark of the beast in verses 12 through verse 16. And five of the uses of this Greek verb, which you can see on the screen, five of those times it uses here in this text are in the present tense to point out the habitual, repeated practice of the false prophet in doing these things. He does some of these things repeatedly, is the idea. And he does these things to make the earth dwellers, a phrase again used repeatedly to talk about unsaved people in the book of Revelation. He does these things to cause them to worship the first beast, Antichrist. He will lead the worldwide cult of Antichrist. The false prophet's mission will be to use all the means available to him from the Antichrist to cause the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the Antichrist, whose fatal wound was healed. So the false prophet's purpose is to point people to Antichrist, which is a satanic imitation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? One of his ministries, I should say, pointing people to Christ. Jesus would say in John 16:14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And what does the Holy Spirit want to do? Point people to Christ. To lift up Christ, to glorify Christ. And here, in a sense, this second beast wants to lift up the Antichrist. He wants the spotlight to go on Antichrist. He wants worship of Antichrist. And that reminds us that Satan has a counterfeit trinity. And in Satan's imitation, in his unholy trinity, we have the dragon, which is Satan imitating God the Father. We have the beast out of the sea, which is Antichrist imitating Jesus Christ. And we have the beast out of the earth now, which is the false prophet imitating again the Holy Spirit. So the false prophet is not impotent. He is a powerful force, but one that directs the attention to the Antichrist, that directs people to worship him. And understand, there's no competition between the two beasts, but absolute cooperation in their purpose. And so his authority or power is given to point people to the Antichrist. Fatal wound was healed, as we studied about 2 weeks ago, and that I'll elaborate on more in verse 14. But bottom line, his personality is one that points attention to the first beast. And he has a lot of power and he has a lot of authority to do that. Which leads us to what he specifically does to fulfill that role. His performance, which is our second point today. Look at verse 13, please. He performs great signs. So that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Now the false prophet performs great signs and wonders to get the attention of people and to direct, again, that attention to the Antichrist. And beloved, these signs mimic not only the miracles or signs performed by Christ in his incarnation, but also those of the two witnesses we studied about in Revelation earlier in Revelation 11, 5 and 6. And if you recall, those two special witnesses had the power to destroy their enemies with fire. But also in biblical history, Elijah the prophet called fire down from heaven to consume his offering. For what purpose? To distinguish him as a true prophet of God in contrast to the false prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, 36 through 38. Then, in 2 Kings 1, 9 through 12, the fire of God came down twice to confirm that Elijah was a man of God, a true prophet, killing total on two occasions 100 of the king Ahaziah's. And one last biblical reference I want to bring to your attention when it comes to fire is Numbers 16:35, where fire comes down to consume 250 rebellious men who were offering incense and rebelling against Moses, which validated Moses, in a sense, as a prophet of God. My point being, this false prophet in Revelation 13:13 will perform great signs and even make fire come down out of heaven to earth, obviously through satanic power, to validate that he is a true prophet. For what purposes does he perform these signs and wonders and miracles? To deceive people and direct their worship to Antichrist. Look at verse 14, please. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth dwellers, the unsaved, because of the signs which was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Now the performance of the signs done by the beast climaxed in the making of fire to come down to the earth, established the credentials of this great deceiver as a prophet, which will enable him to make an unbelievable demand to make an image to the first beast. And the signs he performs give him his platform to deceive, for seeing is believing, to those who see these supernatural signs. In other words, while there is no deception in the sign itself, the object behind it is a very deadly deception. He deceives those who dwell on the earth, it says here. And the verb deceives, deceived or deceive it, depending on which translation you have, is the word plunao, from which we get our English word planet. That's why I give you this word, planet. It's used 8 times in the book of Revelation. And this verb literally means to wonder, to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead aside from the right way, to lead away from the truth, to lead direct into error. And the connection with our word planet is, the planets appear to wander through the heavens. We know that they're in orbits. But from our vantage point, they appear to wander, to roam in the heavenlies. Well, the false prophet will lead people astray. They will wander after error. will lead people aside from the way of truth, and he will do it with signs, miracles. And that the unbelieving world will be deceived is due not only to the wicked deception of Satan and his demons through Antichrist and the false prophet. But get this. Also comes as God's judicial judgment on mankind for rejecting truth to believe a lie. For again, we have the phrase, look back at the verse, it was given him. 5 of 6 uses in Revelation 13. It was given him. Which ultimately takes us back to God who's on the throne, who ultimately gives Satan his power. But also, to show that this is judicial blindness, note that the noun form of the verb plunao is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Translated delusion, where it says in the context of the man of sin, Antichrist, beginning in verse 8, these things. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, here's judicial blindness, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Same word, noun form of the word, plunao. God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have sure in unrighteousness. God will judicially blind them through these signs. He is the one who's on the throne that gives the ultimate power. Remember, the devil is God's devil. And God is using him for his sovereign purposes, even during this time of great judgment on the earth, to fulfill his will and what he has ordained. And again, we have this spiritual pop-up that we see time and time and time and time again in the book of Revelation, that God is still on the throne, even though the world looks like it's going crazy and mad and things are out of control. Power was given unto him. Unto him. Now, verse 4, through Satan. But ultimately, no, through God Almighty himself. Satan is the intermediate source of power, but God is the ultimate source of power. So here is judicial blindness. And what brings it is to respond to the truth, leading to a yielding to the satanic lie that brings about this judicial blindness. And the false prophet, in his special religious office, is the satanic agent of deception, and his signs and his wonders are the means he uses to convince the world of unbelievers of his credentials. Which leads to telling, this is amazing, to the bold demand to make an image of the beast, which is the first beast. For we know that because the sentence concludes by communicating, he who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And the false prophet's signs and wonders lead to the power of persuasion. He speaks like a dragon, remember. And since the human heart is an idol factory, communicated by Calvin and his institutes, people will build an image like the children of Israel did through Aaron as Moses was on the mount, even in the Old Testament. They will build an image of the beast. And this image will be a tribute to the awesome power of Antichrist, who had the wound of the sword and has come to life to seemingly conquer death. And if you recall, 2 weeks ago when we were introduced to the beast out of the sea, Antichrist, in Revelation 13:5, he had a fatal wound that was healed and the whole earth was amazed about it. For Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound, literally his death wound, was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And what we have then is this fake Christ will try to make it look like he is the Christ, counterfeiting his death and resurrection. I mean, he had a wound of the sword, a wound that he died from, and he comes back to life. And the world was amazed, it says, which means they were in wonder, literally, to be stunned in wonder. And as a result, they follow after the beast and they worship Satan, in essence, because they end up worshiping the beast who is energized by Satan in Revelation 13:4. So these amazing events all lead up to this bold demand to make an image to the beast, the first beast, Antichrist. And I'm not going to speculate about this image because of time, but just say it happens. This image is made, which leads us to our third point, his plan. Plan behind all the signs and wonders and this image being built. Look at verse 15, please. And here's that phrase that was given to him again, the sixth time in Revelation chapter 13. And it was given to him the false prophet, to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be what? Killed. Now, in another display of power to lead people astray and to deceive, the false prophet will give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak. And breath is the better translation over life here, if you happen to have a King James version. For the Greek word is pneuma, breath or spirit, not the normal Greek word translated life. And what we have is the false prophet will animate the image of Antichrist so that it gives the appearance of being alive. And of course, with the technology today, that is really not that far-fetched. And then to add to that, the world's desperate need from all the judgments of the tribulation, which we've studied up to this point, 14 of them, in the trumpet judgments and the seal judgments, to believe in a great deliverer, a savior, the deception looks real. It becomes very real. But get this, through this ruse, this trickery, this stratagem, the false prophet's real diabolical plan becomes visible and clear and noticeable. And that is, this image speaks, and the false prophet communicates the death sentence to one who does not worship this image of Antichrist. Much like Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel 3:6. And the outcome was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, would not bow. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace to die, but God protected his own. As you remember that story, that true story from the book of Daniel. And we could speculate on a lot of things at this point. I'm not going to. The bottom line is the false prophet wants the beast to be worshipped and also uses this image as a means to destroy his enemies, God's people. As a part of this plan, he gives out a mark to everyone. Look at verse 16, please. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, put a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Now, the false prophet is a part of his program to enforce the worship of Antichrist, requires all categories of unbelievers to receive a mark. And every social group of society, summarized as the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, are given this mark. This action will cross all the boundary lines of society. And the mark of the beast is given to all stratas of people. And is a significant word used seven more times in the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast. And this word for mark literally means a stamp, a brand. And in the ancient world, such marks, tattoos and brands and stamps, were commonly slaves, soldiers, and devotees of religious cults. But here this mark will be given to the followers of the beast. and will be put in a place that is very visible or accessible, possibly, I'm not saying it is, possibly for scanning on the right hand or on the forehead. Now, for what purpose? Well, that answer is given in verse 17. Look at verse 17, please. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the purpose for this mark is for control. Say, what do you mean? Well, to be able to live, to be able to buy things or sell things, you must have this mark. For no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark. And think about it. To buy food that is probably already being rationed because of the seal and trumpet judgments, and to buy water, which no doubt is being rationed because of those judgments, you have to have the mark of the beast, the mark which consists of the name of the beast or the number of his name. And beloved, there will be an economic boycott for those who do not identify, follow, and worship the Antichrist. And think of it, food, clothing, medical supplies, and other necessities of life are in high demand in an earth that has been devastated by God's judgments, creating huge shortages. Yet these things will be unobtainable without the mark, even though there'll be shortages. There's not going to be that many of these things, but you can't get any of them if you have the mark, if you don't have the mark. And since we are clearly headed to a cashless society, which is very practical and safer in some circumstances, having a computer chip on your hand or forehand, or possibly a scanning barcode, will be your ticket to buy or sell. That's how it may come down. Not saying for sure that's the way it's going to come down, because it doesn't say. And that is not far-fetched in a world that will be permeated with theft of every kind because of the circumstances abounding in the tribulation. Your ID is on you to identify you and electronically take care of transactions. I mean, I hardly ever write a check anymore to pay my bills. I do my banking and bill paying online, electronically. And we use debit cards more and more and more. We need those things to survive. And scanning people's foreheads or hands would identify them to a central computer system that enables you to buy or sell, possibly. Not far-fetched. In fact, pretty practical, except that that technology will fall into the hands of the beast and will be used by him for worship and loyalty and control. And that the number of the beast is given to us. It's given to us in verse 18. Look at verse 18, our final verse for today. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now the exclamation, "Here is wisdom," appears to be a warning to those who will be alive at this future time to be discerning and wise. And these people that are alive at this future will need to see or recognize what is happening and understand the significance of the number connected with Antichrist's name. Now, those with wisdom will be able to calculate the number of the beast. For it says here in verse 18, "For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666, or 666666. And I'm not going to say a whole lot and speculate about this number, which is really intriguing for a lot of people with all kinds of formulas that follow as you read about these things today. But I will say that in biblical numerology, 7 is the number of perfection. In a sense, God's number. And since man always falls short of perfection, his number is 6. Man was created on the 6th day in Genesis 1, 21. And the number 6 is used for other things in Scripture. And 666 is probably used for emphasis. Just as the thrice repeated statement, holy, holy, holy emphasizes, highlights, and stresses God's absolute holiness. And 666 is the mark of the beast. And physically speaking, it will be necessary for every human being to have the mark of the beast to live. But spiritually speaking, it will be fatal in the end, for only unbelievers who will be damned will receive it. In wrap-up, I want to make two applications of our text today. Number one, there are a lot of speculations concerning the false prophet. From he was a person in the first century in history, to he will be a pope, to he represents an institution, a form of government, or even an ideology. And some of you may be thinking, Ray, you're taking a lot of liberty to call him, number one, a person, especially one who comes in the future, and even calling him the false prophet. Well, let me give you some things to consider. He is a person by the pronouns used to talk about him and the context of Revelation 13. And one who comes on the scene in the future that is actually called the false prophet. For three times in the book of Revelation, this beast is called the false prophet. And the key text out of the three is Revelation 19:20, which at least in my simple understanding communicates that this false prophet is a future person, supporting again our futuristic interpretation of the book of Revelation. Forget this. After Christ comes back in Revelation 19, which all of us agree that Jesus hasn't returned yet, right? Except the Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that he returned in 1914 or 1917, I forget which one, in the heavenlies. But I don't think anyone here believes that, but after Christ returns, notice what happens in Revelation 19:20. Revelation 19:20 says, follow along the screen, please, and the beast was seized. He's alive. Jesus returns right before this in Revelation 19. And with him, who? The false prophet. He's identified who performed the signs in his presence, Revelation 13, what we just studied, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Five at this time, when Jesus returns to the earth in Revelation 19. Now clearly the second beast is the false prophet. For he is the one in Revelation 13 who performed the signs and did the things talked about here. And he is called the false prophet. And as a human being is thrown alive into the lake of fire as Jesus returns to the earth. And guess what? He's still burning there 1,000 years later and is called the false prophet again in Revelation 20 verse 10. Where it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now the third reference to him is found in Revelation 16:13, which you can look up on your own, talking about the satanic, unholy trinity, and again he's called the false prophet. And to me, this is another of the proofs that Revelation 4 and on are prophetic, future, not historical, of things that have already happened in the first century, specifically around 70 AD with the fall of Jerusalem. These are future things not yet fulfilled. That's my first application. One more, and that is this. The false prophet will be a great deceiver, as Satan is now. And because Satan is a pro at deception, using false religion, I challenge you, if you're a true follower of Christ today, to apply Jude verse 3. And that is to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. I challenge you to be discerning in the truth war that we're in today by knowing the truth so well you can spot error from a distance. Beloved, let the Word of God saturate your mind to transform your mind and life, that you will not be deceived by the wiles of error. They're abounding in our society today. Satan is a master of using false ideas. So the truth war today is a battle against evil ideas, thoughts, arguments, fortresses made up of satanic lies. And people are deceived by evil systems of thought and false doctrine led by false prophets today. So may we know the truth, may we guard the truth, and may we live the truth. Brothers and sisters, immerse yourselves with sound, pure doctrine in an age of deception and deceit. And grasp the Word of God in your heart by the basics again. Reading the Word, seeing the Word, memorizing the Word, meditating on the Word, and listening to the Word. You know, it's exciting for me that over the next week, our young people, our students, are going to be able to hear 9 messages out of Colossians, starting tonight. Go through the entire book of Colossians. That's great. Because what do we have in Colossians 2:8? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of the men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware! Be on guard! Watch out! And we live in an age where there is a truth war that is going on. And there are spiritual terrorists that are out there trying to take people away from the Word of God and thinking biblically by communicating false ideas and lies. May we be on guard. May we be on guard. I close with 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5, where Dan preached on the last 2 Wednesdays. And it's been tremendous to be in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead as appearing in His kingdom. Timothy. These are Paul's last words to Timothy. Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, encourage with long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But you, Timothy, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. May we be soldiers of truth in a war with spiritual terrorists and false prophets who are trying to deceive with lies. May we be on guard.